A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was in middle school, hanging up in just about every room of every teacher, there was a large laminated poster with a list of ethics and aphorisms based on the essays of Robert Fulghum's best-selling book, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. That one was in all caps. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. And when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. And several others like these, with the number one at the very top of the poster being share everything. This morning, I want to talk to you about sharing, not necessarily about sharing everything, but sharing everything that is essential for human life. For that's where the miracle of what we might call community takes place. And the question for us today at the outset is for us to ask ourselves, do we believe in this miracle? Or do we need to go back and learn the lesson all over again in Christian kindergarten? It's understandable if we do, because the whole idea of miracle flies in the face of something else we learned in kindergarten, math. 2 + 2 = 5. And 5 + 2 = 5,000. And what we might think of then is a seemingly incontrovertible fact is what the conservative economist Thomas Sowell calls the first lesson of economics, scarcity. That there is never enough of anything to fully satisfy all those who want it. That is indeed the first law in the economics of scarcity. But allow me this morning to give you another quote from another kind of economics. What we might call the first law in the economics of abundance. It is from St. Augustine, who said that if a thing is not diminished when it is shared, then it is not rightly owned, if only owned, but then not shared. So we ask ourselves, which economy do we believe in? The one of scarcity or of abundance? Sharing or hoarding? The strictly mathematical or the astonishingly miraculous? Now, let me say something here about the miracle. I can't explain it, and I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to be like that life application preacher who stood before the congregation and said, "Today I'll be talking to you about the feeding of the 5,000 and sending you all home with a recipe for how to do it yourself." There is no recipe. There is no explanation. Every one of us knows it is a mathematical impossibility. But then Jesus said, "With God, all things are possible." And there is always enough of everything that is meant to be shared. And so what are those things? Well, food, as we see in the scripture. There is plenty enough food on this earth to feed the world a time and a half over. Water. We are only running out of fresh water because we've been so senseless with our use of it. Housing and transportation. Did you know, I just read a report, that when you add up the cost of both housing and transportation, it costs more to live in Fort Worth than it does in New York City. New York City. We're actually on par with San Francisco. And that's why it's so important that we invest in affordable housing and in public transportation, so that we can share this community with everyone. And healthcare. Everyone ought to have access to healthcare. It's in the text this morning. and it ought not to break them in order to have it. I want to tell you that I grew up being taught to oppose public health care options. It was called socialized medicine. I didn't know what socialized medicine was, but I could tell by the tone of voice everybody who was speaking of it used that it was something I was supposed to be against. Later, I was told it made people lazy or shiftless or got them comfortable living on the dole. But then, then Irie and I got married. And we moved to the state of Vermont for my first pastorate. And we had our first child. And there was a public option for children's health care. Now, we were not lazy or shiftless or trying to take advantage of the system. We were poor. Very. I mean, let me tell you, there is no poorer mouse than the poor church mouse. And our kid needed health care. And so we got it from the state. And that's also where we got our education. Irie and I are both products of public schools, and our children go to public schools. And that is because Article 7 of our state constitution says it is the duty of the legislature of the state to establish and make suitable provision for the support and maintenance of an efficient system of public free schools where all children can be educated. The law of scarcity says we don't have enough to meet all of the needs of children and adults. But the law of abundance says these things will not diminish if we steward them wisely and also generously. The law of abundance says these things will not diminish if we do what is necessary to really and truly share them. Now, I'm talking about sharing, and as I do, I want to make an important point for which I am grateful to William Sloan Coffin. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet are commandments which both implicitly and also explicitly give sanction to private property in the Bible. So the sharing I am talking about does not exclude the ownership of private land or resource or material items. But the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the psalmist says. And whatever is under the heavens is mine, God says in the book of Job. So all of our ownership and all of our economy and all of our ponds and rivers and streams and fields and everything else under the sun really do belong to God first and foremost and forever, not primarily us. We are conservators. We are stewards. And that is a privilege. And with that privilege comes a responsibility. And this responsibility that we have with the things that are necessary for human life and human flourishing, we must learn to share. And right now, in this grave time of economic crisis, when things are bad and could get even worse, we have got to do what we learned in kindergarten: to hold hands and stick together and do what that little boy in Luke's version of this story did: to share our lunch and everything else that is necessary along the way. And if we think about it, we couldn't share unless someone first shared with us. That's the whole beginning of life. It's by grace that we were saved and by grace that we were born. Nobody came into this world all by themselves. Every one of us had life's breath shared with us from God at birth. This is the essence of life, that as Simone Weil said, God ceased to be all things that we might become something. And when we were born, somebody took us from the womb and warmed us in their arms and suckled us at their breast or at the bottle and made sure to share the essentials of life with us from day one. It is by grace that we are born, and it is by grace that we are still here. And to whom much is given, to whom much is given, much is required. The great Baptist preacher Carlisle Marney used to say, we think of property and poverty as antonyms, but they are not. They are synonyms, he said, and they're opposite. Their opposite is community. Or as the late John Lewis liked to call it, beloved community. As I close, I want to say something about John Lewis as it relates to today's text. The first verse of the lesson begins with these words: now, when Jesus heard this, heard what? Extra royal ambassador stars in your crown, if you remember. The answer is, heard that John had died. John the Baptist had died. John, who said, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. and anyone who has extra food should do the same, was gone. And as he came ashore and saw all of those hungry and desperate people with so many needs, Jesus realized that John's mantle had fallen upon him. John Lewis's mantle has fallen upon us now. May we receive a double portion of his power. And may we dare to create the beloved community where every belly is fed, all bodies are clothed, all minds are educated, all ailments are treated, where nobody hits anybody in class, and everybody plays fair. And we finally put into practice all those lessons we first learned in kindergarten, including, first and foremost, the lesson of sharing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen and Amen.